Welcome to your new day.
This is Early Breakfast with Africa Milani.
In 10 minutes, we'll be talking about the flu vaccine and why you should consider it. We'll have a conversation with the Communicable Disease Directorate from the National Department of Health, Mr. Wayne Ramakrishna, who'll be talking to us about why you should consider taking the flu. But ahead of that, let's talk about fitness, shall we? Many people go to the gym, work to a very strenuous routine sometimes, and alongside that, of course, is a strict diet. We know that the six-pack is, molded more in the kitchen than it is in the gym. But so many people are craving certain treats. And, well, today we're going to tell you why it's okay to say yes to a cheesecake or a treat once in a while. Nicholas Engel is a powerlifting coach and speaker, joins me on the line now from Johannesburg. Nicholas, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're about to be a fan favorite of all of Cape Talk and 702 listeners this morning. Why is it okay to say yes to that slice of cheesecake once in a while?
You know, sometimes when we commit to a diet and we really focused and we're denying ourselves so much, we can hit certain goals in our weight, and it's nice to actually have a reward. And sometimes just to remind ourselves, you know, have a good piece of cheesecake. Have a great biscuit, and rather focus on having something that's quality. You know, if you don't really see it as a cheat, see it as a reward, and then get the best piece of cheesecake that you can.
And is it a case of, if I achieve that milestone, and by the way, that milestone could be running 5 kilometers without breaking a sweat, I'm then exactly. going to reward myself in this way?
100%. And it's about building a healthy relationship with food, because, you know, particularly with the sport of powerlifting, we have athletes that compete in different weight divisions. So it's essential to make weight, otherwise you're not able to compete. So it's a nice little reward along the way that if you're on target, have that treat. It's about, you know, otherwise you can also be craving that food. And sometimes when we're craving something, we binge, we eat too much, we overdo it. So having these little treats along the way can really help us manage and stay on course for our goal.
But I suppose there's a fine line there as well, though, Nicholas, isn't it? Because if I know that a weakness of mine is that slice of cheesecake, and I've managed to successfully stay away from it for a couple of weeks, let's say, as I'm trying to get to whatever that milestone is, I hit that milestone, I then indulge in a slice of cheesecake, and I remember, oh my word, this used to bring me so much joy.
Yeah.
I want more of that joy, please. And then what's stopping me the next day from going to buy another slice of cheesecake?
So absolutely. So, you know, if you can involve a friend or a family member and then you make it an occasion where you maybe meet someone that you haven't spoken to for a while or haven't seen for a piece of cheesecake, you go out to a nice restaurant or a nice coffee shop and you order a really good, you know, piece of cheesecake, you make it an occasion. So, and the actual occasion can be more rewarding than the actual cheesecake. Plus, what can happen as well is the next day you're not going to feel as optimal and as great potentially because of the sugar, because of the richness. And then you can understand that it's about not wanting to eat the cheesecake because you want to be optimal versus can't eat the cheesecake. And not wanting to versus can't becomes far more powerful in reaching our goals.
Yeah. It's also generally accepted that if you repeat the same thing for 21 consecutive days, you then turn it into a habit. I imagine do not enjoy that slice of cheesecake in those first 21 days, right? Otherwise, otherwise your new habit might not be entrenched by the time you start rewarding yourself.
Absolutely. And I think maybe if we're looking at rewards and we're wanting to set a lifetime type of habit, right? So that we eat in a certain way, we exercise in a certain way, we look after ourselves. You know, that cheesecake could be once every 6 months, once every 3 months, where it becomes quite a very, very special occasion. The challenge here, though, also is if there is a sugar addiction, then one needs to be very careful because you don't want to re-trigger that sugar addiction It usually takes about 2 weeks to break that. And then you don't want to, as you said, have it. And then now all you're thinking of is the cheesecake again. If you do have that experience, then you can understand that, okay, this is not for me. I now need to find another way to sort of look after myself and reward myself.
Let's talk about the impact of a strict diet on one's mental health, because yes, you embark on a strict diet because obviously you want to lose weight, you want to be fitter, you want to be healthier, whatever the case may be. But if that decision is rushed and if one is not emotionally prepared for the journey, it can actually cause more stress than good in one's life, can't it?
Absolutely. You know, if you're looking to lose weight because you're wanting to be loved, you're wanting to be accepted, then that can be very damaging. We don't really, you know, what is thin enough? When working with competitive athletes for competition, my job is far easier because we know the weight range we have to get the athlete into. We know the strength that we need from them based on the numbers that they're able to lift on the bar for their different lifts. But if you're just wanting to be thin because you feel, you know, you're not accepted by your partner, you're not accepted by society, there are other ways that are far healthier to get that acceptance and to work on yourself. The way that we appear should always be a byproduct of our lifestyle. It shouldn't be our lifestyle. So we should rather develop a passion for exercise, a passion for training, and an understanding that if I'm eating cheesecake every day, I'm not going to feel as great as I could do. You know, the problem can be sometimes is, you know, when we fall down as a kid, our mother rewards us, have a cookie, and that'll make us feel better. And we associate those kind of foods with feeling better when we're down. So we need to understand and change that. And dieting can be very, very destructive towards our mental health because the goal is not as measurable as it would be for an athlete.
Yeah. And then one looks for some of these easier solutions, right? They're very popular medications for diabetes, for example, that everybody's turning to now to lose weight. That might actually cause a lot more harm than good as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what happens when are you then committing to that medication for your entire life? I just returned from a very popular business and holiday spot overseas, and I saw a lot of older men and older women in incredibly good shape. They were very lean, they were very ripped, but there's a huge performance-enhancing drug culture in this region. That is not something that's good for one's health long term. You might look great on the beach, and this is the problem. Everyone tells you you look so amazing. You're getting all of these accolades and all of this praise because people say you look incredible and you want more and more of that. So where you tell yourself, I'm only going to be on this for 3 months. I'm only going to take this course for 3 months, and then it becomes a lifestyle and it starts to affect your health. We should prioritize our health and our well-being over our physical appearance. And if we do want to look leaner, have that six-pack, we need to understand that we should adopt a lifestyle around us that will give us that six-pack if our genetics will allow us to have that six-pack, because genetics are the big role. But, you know, our food is not a punishment for how we look. That's the thing. And, you know, we can't weigh our self-esteem and our self-worth. That's got to come rather from challenging ourselves, from doing things that make us proud of ourselves, rather than punishing ourselves by reducing our food intake and killing ourselves on the treadmill at the gym.
Yeah, I go to the gym because it's fun.
Excellent. Absolutely.
Yeah. And when it stops being fun, I stop. Yeah. That's the only downer to it, I must admit. So because I'm looking for fun, and yes, there's pain, obviously, but you know the social aspects of it for me are very important. But once I stop enjoying it, I tend to stop as opposed to look for other ways of enjoying it while still getting out a workout.
to push it. So let me, you know, I'll give you myself as an example. I stopped competing in about 2016, in 2017 in powerlifting. And what I realized, firstly, I had all of my clients nagging me to start again. But what I realized is if I didn't have a goal with working long hours such as yourself, you then tend to sacrifice the training session to rather get some rest. So I started competing again, and I've just qualified for the national bench press team. We've got three international competitions within South Africa this year that I'm going to be competing in. That gets me to go to the gym, and that gets me to have fun. But as you said, I don't think there's anything more important and more valuable from training in a gym than the social aspect, particularly given what we've all been through. That social aspect and that fun aspect is the most wonderful thing, be it a class, be it group training, be it training with friends, that's the priority. But if you are slipping and you're wanting to stay in the gym, find something that is going to require you to train more than just wanting to train. So maybe go for a competition, challenge yourself to partake in a race or a run or something along those lines that gets you into the gym when you don't want to.
All right, let me ask this question from Senki before I let you go. He's from Soweto. Sure. And says, do you have to specifically have to look a certain way for a powerlifting competition, or is it all about being strong enough to lift a particular weight? He says he knows as a personal trainer and a competitive bodybuilder that he has to worry about the diet and training.
Yeah, so the great thing about powerlifting, and let me give you again myself as an example, I started competing in the 83-kilogram category, so that's from 83 kilos down to 74. Now I'm competing in the 105 category, so that's from 105 to 93. We have the highest weight category is 120 kilos plus. So you pick the weight category that you want to be in. So if you get heavier over time, that's fine. You can still stay competitive. Within bodybuilding, it's about being as lean as possible. I mean, it's an incredible sport. It's an incredibly disciplined sport because it's a pure 24/7 thing. Within powerlifting, you can be any weight that you want. And usually it's an advantage. The heavier you are, the more weight you're able to lift. Usually, I think I stand corrected, but I think it's for every 4 kilos of body weight, you can add a kilo to your total of your bench press, squat, and your deadlift. So being heavy is an advantage in the sport.
Wow.
And it's a wonderful thing to see some of the ladies that are 100, 110 kilos. You know, they're incredibly fit, they're incredibly strong, and they're winning gold for their country. It's a wonderful thing.
Indeed. Nicholas, thank you very much for your time. Nicholas Engel is a powerlifting coach and speaker. Reward yourself with a cheesecake or a treat once a certain milestone has been achieved. See it as a reward as opposed to a cheat day.